Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the September 21st of 2021.
My youngest is
9-21-21-21-21. Oh,
well, close. Not really something, but 2-21s. 9-0. There must be an addition issue there. 9-1 plus 2. Anyway, my youngest is going to be 26 this week.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting old. Lot of really fascinating things going on in the markets, John, in the world.
Yeah, I've heard.
Oh, it feels like it's 1998 again with the long-term capital management fiasco with a side of over there mentality. We have China Evergrande default, which is China's second largest property developer, only about $300 billion of debt. $300 billion.
I don't know. What do you make of all this Chinese stuff?
Well, this was bound to happen. You remember years ago when I went to China and I did the man on the ground reporting?
Yeah, you actually went to one of the ghost cities.
I did. And it was fascinating. I was like, at first, I'm like, oh, come on. You know, when we saw all those overhead satellite and helicopter views, I'm like, nah, this is BS. I get over there and I'm driving down this road. It's dozens of miles of houses, apartment complexes, these little mini cities, totally built and fully unoccupied. It was fascinating. And they went on forever and ever and ever.
There's a number of those towns.
Yeah. And what the problem is that for years, there has been a project, we'll call it, by China to build and to finance and then build more and finance and then sell as much as they could, but if they couldn't, it didn't matter because this put people to work and it was good for the economy and it was just the way to do things. And there we have it. The final evolution of what's happened is a major bust. And we're going to get into that because I have something to say about that people need to listen to, because I think there's a little bamboozling going on again, like we had about a year and a half ago. The similarities are frightening on a different level, a different topic, a different situation entirely, but the similarities I think we need to really pay attention to. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about some more of the information that's coming out about the Fed trading, the ethics lapse that seems to be infecting the Fed and the Fed presidents that we saw just a taste of, but more came out about what they're actually doing. And now there's some looking into that Federal Reserve Chair Powell is going to get involved in. Going to do a full review of our ethics. So you know what's going to come out with that. And question, anybody freaking out? We had the worst day in months on Monday. At one point, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 1,000 points, like 975 points or something like that. And then got a spark in the last hour because, you know, hey, why not? That's what happens. We get 2, 3, 4% pullback in markets. And the Pavlovian response is to just simply buy the dip.
So, well, that's a dip to buy.
Yeah. So people bought it, closed down about 650 points or so. This morning, we saw that bounce continue where the futures were up like 320 points. And by the end of the day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down again. And so were the other ones clung to slight losses, but very insignificant from being up throughout the day. And then overnight now we're seeing that the continuation of the selling is going on. So everybody's, you know, oh, it's September. It's seasonally a weak period of time. And that's what's going on here. But we do have a Fed meeting tomorrow. We have an announcement going on there. So something is probably going to be involved with the idea of, hey, there's going to be an announcement that they have to start curtailing their bond purchases. Everybody's geared up for this for tomorrow on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We have some news that cows are pretty smart, trying to save the world by some special training. And we have a limerick from the mystery limericker.
That would be you.
Yeah, I guess so.
You just can't get away from it. You can't lose it.
Can't. It's just sitting there. Every once in a while, just got to grab it. We had a rough Monday, but still in kind of a trend. We did cut down in the Dow Jones Industrials down to the July levels. So it's about kind of taking back 2 months' worth of gains in the last week or so. Crypto provided absolutely no hedge. Matter of fact, it was much worse in crypto space.
Imagine people think that crypto's a hedge.
Oh my God, they were coming out with this whole thing for the longest time as, you know, a good alternative to gold. It's not correlated to the market. Meanwhile, it's down 8% yesterday. And nursing losses again throughout the evening tonight. And we're seeing lots of charts on individual names look kind of ugly. They're basically supportless, I'll call it. There's no real support lines. We're seeing a background under the radar correction in many stocks that is not being seen if you just look at the indices. I mean, look at FedEx. They came out with earnings tonight. Their numbers were not good. Their outlook was really piss poor. And a big increase in costs, labor costs, last mile costs, rental costs, fuel costs. And they guided down. They're down 20% before going into this print tonight from their high.
Huh.
And who would have thought? Let's think. Why would all, we could think of all the good reasons, right? Why FedEx should do well?
Yeah. Yeah. Online buying. There's one good reason.
Online buying, people spending, consumers happy, the world, the expansion, blah, blah, blah. You know, all this. There's no goods, but yet because there's no excess goods because everybody's just purchasing everything. And meanwhile, they can't make money doing this. And that is my concern. That's the thing I've been bringing up about next quarter's earnings, where we're priced to perfection. And we were, from the market standpoint, with the idea that we're going to see continuation of the trend of this breakneck pace of massive earnings growth.
What is the Federal Express has made money.
Yeah, they're making money. There's no question they're making money.
But they seem to be everything. This costs too much to use. I don't even use FedEx anymore. It just costs too much.
I don't think anybody really uses FedEx except for the people do, but for the major
China uses
deliveries.
Them.
They can't get workers. That's another problem. There's a labor shortage causing them all sorts of problems.
That would explain a lot. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, people who are protesting the whole idea of going back to work or wanting more money or, you know, and now we have companies like, I think Amazon's paying for your college education if you go and work for them. Seriously. How does that even work?
That doesn't make sense.
What else do we have? Major indices, still some downside I see. There's not much reliable support in these ranges. The VIX spiked up to 28 yesterday. And China just will not let up either. You know, their attack on tech and gambling, gaming, education, just not stopping.
No, they're on a roll. They're on some sort of I don't even know how to describe it, but they're out to end corruption, I guess, or
common prosperity.
I have no idea.
I don't think they're looking to end corrupt. Well, they're probably looking to end corruption for everybody else besides the higher ups.
Yeah. Well, that's probably yes.
So what they're doing is ripping out money from everybody else and getting it to themselves. Make sure they're padded pretty well. So, but I also think that they have a situation that is very difficult to deal with right now, which is the massive debt that they've extended, particularly to property developers who are not being extended bank loans. You see the price of some of these bonds. I mean, their bonds are down 70, 80%. The stocks are down 80% from four or five different property developers.
Well, maybe this is the bond collapse they talked about 5 years ago.
It could be. So let's kind of get into this. I mean, and I have something to say about this because I think that people are kind of walking around like,
yeah, that's what they're doing. I agree.
Nothing here.
Have a, Yeah, nobody seems to have a clue about what's going
on. Nothing to see here. China Evergrande. This is the China Evergrande Group. So it kicked off a process on Saturday to repay investors on its overdue investment products with discounted properties. Investors who opt for discounted real estate in lieu of cash can start contacting its wealth managers for more details, the report said, citing a WeChat post by Evergrande's wealth division. So in other words, you can go and you can try to get discounted properties, particularly if you have any financial investment in the firm. They'll give you back discounted properties. So what are you going to do? Hi, I invested $50,000. I'll take a part of that building for a major discount. I'll take that. I'll take the Ghost City Playground, please, for $50,000. How does that work? And then what? Then they're going to be stuck with an illiquid asset that will be so down on the level of the pecking order to try to get rid of if they ever had to.
Oh, they'll never get rid of some of this stuff.
Never get rid of it.
No.
So
getting the opera house at a big discount in one of the ghost cities.
Right.
You got an opera house. Yeah. Now what?
Yeah.
It needs maintenance. It's starting to leak. You know, weeds are coming up in the second floor.
Good point. Then if you do take that discounted property, you'll have to deal with the upkeep, the taxes, if there's any taxes on it, any mandatory cost factors that the government will levy upon you. Yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. So the other thing is that it's starting to bleed through. Like, markets finally had a conniption. And I think that's because there was no bailout mentioned. I think if you look at the China Evergrande chart or you look at the Hong Kong property developers, if you just look at the basket of property developers, this is not an overnight situation. This has been going on for months and months and months. Slowly but surely, they've been rolling over. And I think what happened is when they started to see the bonds really start collapsing on these names and the realization that they're going to miss payments on their debt. And no one heard anybody in China say, you know what, we'll make sure that there's plenty of liquidity, like, you know, like we do here all the time, right? Well, don't worry. There'll be plenty of liquidity for the layman and for the Bear Stearns. Not to worry. And this is not a small amount. This is a massive amount of money.
Well, so what do you think is going to happen?
So I think that we're going to continue to see this volatility because it's a binary outcome. I'll tell you right now. If the Chinese government does not bail out or back up or fund, let's say, in any manner, the problem is that there's much more of a reverberation that goes out because now we're talking about banks and lending and the economy. And if they don't ring fence this situation, what's going to happen is it's going to start just making its way through the financial system very quickly. And I just can't imagine that China's not going to step in, the government. I mean, why would they?
Somebody's going to have to do something. You know, the Chinese have never, that I know of, I mean, I'm sure they've had some sort of version of it, but it since it became, this kind of Marxist capitalist hybrid. Have they ever had like runs on the bank? I mean, they don't know how that we've got mechanisms in place, the FDIC and other things that make it so people don't take a run on the bank and line up for miles to get their money out of the bank.
Right.
This would be a mess in China.
There was a big problem during the financial crisis. I remember that there was a number of banks that were having major difficulty and there were, as was the case everywhere, people stashing cash. But I think the biggest problem that I'm having with this is that we're all looking at this going, oh, man, look at what's going on in China. Now, to be fair, it doesn't seem from anything that I've seen that there is a significant amount of debt that is held by U.S. banks, et cetera, in the area of these property developers. Because, you know, for the most part, we can't. They don't let us into their economy too much, right? However, if you remember what happened with the financial crisis, did China own a lot of the residences and all the excess amount of leverage that was put onto housing back in 2006, 2007, 2008? Did Europe own? No, it was just everybody owned a massive amount with a massive amount of leverage and just took something to kick it over, right?
Pretty much.
This over there mentality. It's happening over there. That's what I think everybody's really focused on. This over there, well, we're not going to worry about it. You know, when the last time we had that mentality? Do you remember the last time that we heard, don't worry about contagion? It's restricted to China. It's not going to hurt anybody over here. Right?
COVID.
Just a little bit of pain. We got two people that are infected. That's it. They're in Washington State or whatever. Remember, Washington? First ones? Washington, right? Don't worry. It's contained. Seriously, and I liken this, that, and people may not like that I'm comparing this because we're talking about finance versus, obviously, life.
And you know, the other parallel you can't ignore, you kind of touched on it, but again, China.
Right. Now, there's some discussion going around that is China purposefully trying to burst the leverage bubble just to destroy everybody around the world? This is another. First, we get the health thing. They tried to kill everybody, right? And now we got the financial trying to bankrupt everybody.
Well, they're pretty competent at doing those things. They did a great, pretty good job with COVID and hit us the hardest because why are we the worst?
We're the worst because we screwed up because we said, don't worry about it. And we made a big political mess about the whole thing. That's why.
Well, and we never treated COVID.
Right.
I mean, every place else they treat it. We said, no, just take two aspirin and call us in the morning if you're dead.
But this is a problem. I think people really need to stand up and take notice of what's going on here. Now, one of the things that we did as an example is we looked through our portfolios for our clients to find out, hey, do any of the holdings that we have, for example, in our international real estate positions or in our emerging market or foreign debt have a significant amount of China debt in there? Because that would be the first place that's going to be a big problem. That doesn't mean that as long as we don't have any of that, it's not an issue if there's a big collapse. But I think people really need to kind of look at their portfolios and spend a little time with their advisor. And if they don't know how to do that, they should, I don't know, find somebody to work with. Point is, though, this is not something just to say, just like what happened last time of, I'm not going to worry about it. They're telling me not to worry about it. They're telling you not to worry about it because they need to maintain confidence. That's the whole point.
Yes.
So wake up. Wake up, people.
Wake up, people.
Wake up, people. So I'm going to end on that with that. But seriously, I think that's really important. The parallel that I'm trying to paint there is important to kind of get through everybody's head that there's something that needs to be done. But I do think that in the end, the probability of China not stepping in is low. At least to, if nothing else, take over the company as a state-owned enterprise.
Yeah.
Because the rest of their property developers are going down the tubes as well. Now, a question for you. Do we have a debt ceiling? And why do we have a debt ceiling? We have a debt ceiling?
Well, I think, didn't we talk about this once before?
We talked about this years ago. We have a debt ceiling, but why do we have a debt ceiling? I don't understand.
They just change.
Hello? You faded out.
The debt ceiling.
Would you like to repeat that? Because you went into Never Never Land.
Oh, sorry. I think that they put they got this debt ceiling just, and they keep changing it because they just want to have something to talk about. It's just a debating issue.
Why do they leave this to the last minute? It seems like something that could be on the agenda months
ago. They point the finger at the other party.
Well, the Republicans are brilliant in this one. So House Democrats are confirming that they will vote on a continuing resolution to fund government through December 2021 and suspend the debt ceiling through December 22. The Republicans said, you know what, do us a favor. Do this through a reconciliation process, right? How great is that? because then they can't be blamed.
No.
Oh, brilliant. That was a good move.
Rough shotting the whole process.
Yeah. So, but now they're talking about suspending the debt ceiling through 2022. And then what's the point anyway? Because it's, has there ever been a debt ceiling they said no to?
Not in my recollection. I mean, it may be, it's possible, but it would have to be during the Depression or something. I don't know when they've done it.
I mean, I don't think they can, especially if they're going to have another $3.5 trillion of spending that goes on.
Yeah. Well, it's just throwing money away there.
Yeah. So, and then you have the other side of what's going on with this whole stimulus battle, which it's amazing how long this has taken so far that they just can't get this together. But we have a big problem with the progressives that are making threats. And I would like to say that white dress has magical powers, obviously, it seems. I would tell you.
The one that Ocasio-Cortez that said, eat the rich on the back?
Yeah, eat the rich. but first of all, how great have those memes been of people rewriting the back of that dress?
Yeah.
But she said that she and 45 other progressives will vote against the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill unless the larger $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill passes both chambers of Congress. So they're threatening a $1.1 trillion bill because they want the $3.5 trillion. They just want it all, huh?
Yeah, they want it their way.
Why?
I mean, that's why these socialists like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is hanging out at a $35,000 a head Met Gala.
Yeah.
$275,000 for it to get a table. $35,000 if you're just going to go alone as a stag. I mean, who are we kidding here?
And there's been some discussion that her dressmaker owes $100,000 in taxes.
Oh, but that would make sense. Yeah, that dress was not cheap either.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the dress itself was not a cheap dress.
No, it's like $100,000.
It's a nice dress. Like, you did look good in it. Because aside from the back, that nastiness on the back. But yeah. So I don't know where we're going with this, but it does seem that we're setting ourselves up for a major battle, the 12th hour or 11th hour, 59 minutes, 59 second battle until this whole thing, which markets never like. I've seen that before. And
maybe it's a technique to get the prices down so you can buy in.
Oh, well, that with all that's going on right now, that doesn't seem too unlikely.
Yeah.
The more we learn, the more we talk about the obvious, the more the reality is what we talk about.
Yeah.
It's almost like the crazier the things that we can come up with, the more true they are.
Yeah. Because most of them are. So everything is a scam.
Is that not the truth right there? You know, but, you know, there's two ways to deal with that, John, right? The first way is, hey, man, this is such a scam. This is such, I'm not doing it. I'm not involved. The second way is, hey, man, that's a scam. Let's ride it.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best way.
Right. So, yeah. So a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not getting involved in that because it's rigged.
That's why people say, you know, you can get find somebody that's doing a pump and dump. You get in early and go up with it and get out of there if you can.
Yeah. And how about all those people that say, oh, the markets are rigged. I'm not investing. It's rigged. It's rigged for what? It's rigged to go up. If it's rigged to go up, what are you doing? Get in. Right?
Yeah.
The horse race is rigged. We know that number one is going to win. I am not betting on that on that horse. Okay. How smart is that? That sounds good. More on China. Macau, the casino operator stocks plummeted by as much as a third last Wednesday, losing around $14 billion in value as the government kicked off a public consultation that investors fear will lead to a tighter regulations in the world's largest gambling hub. I don't understand why they're doing this either, except for, I don't know.
This is corruption again, because these casinos in Macau are always considered massive international money laundering operations.
But again, China,
I think a lot of casinos are.
If China knows this, why don't they just say, well, we know this is doing that. We'll just tax them. They'll just be happy about that.
And that's a good point.
They're taking the high road.
Well, they're taking probably... probably taxing him is not good enough.
Oh.
We want to get a piece of the action. Oh. We want our 50%. We want to cut.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we have. Stimulus efforts. We talked about that. Manchin is stalling. What's with this Manchin? He wants his daily 15 minutes in of fame?
No, Manchin's, you know, in a state that should have a Republican senators and a Republican governor, and he is he has to act like a Republican to stay in office. So he does.
Every single thing. It's like, I'm not doing that.
No, if he goes a little too much toward the liberal side of things, they're going to just vote him out, and he knows it.
Mm. Amazing. Biden's approval rating, not so good.
Nah.
The public approval of U.S. President Joe Biden has dropped to the lowest level of his presidency, with Americans appealing to the increasingly critical and being critical of his response to the coronavirus pandemic. The national poll conducted September 15th found that 44% of adults in the U.S. approved of Biden's performance in office, while 50% disapproved and the rest were not sure. Not sure of what? I'm thinking they're not sure if he's awake, alive, or still president.
Yeah, or who the president is.
Yeah.
I thought most of this disapproval stems from the Afghanistan mess rather than COVID.
I think that there was a spike down on the Afghanistan situation, which pretty much dropped out of the news, didn't it?
Maybe. I'm trying to think of some stories, but might be right. Yeah.
It was big. Everybody gets in a big fluff about the whole thing, and then they just change the tune to talk about something else. And then there you go. Now they're talking about, you know, double, triple.
Haitians at the border.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right, right. That's right. Under the bridge. Haitians at the border, under the bridge. And now, what was it? There was some beatings going on or something like that? Or whipping?
No, there was somebody that they took some pick. The guys have horses rousting these guys. And the way the guys are holding the reins, it looks like they were whipping them. And it's bull crap.
Oh. Sad story. Something that we would remember, hopefully most of our listeners also, if you're old enough, Sears, which was founded in Chicago in the 1890s, which business blossomed through much of the 20th century as it sold everything from homes to apparel. In fact, in my neighborhood, I just found this out very recently, there's a home which is about to go up for sale. And they call it the Sears home. And I said, is that the guy's name that lives there? No. I said, what does it mean? Well, it seems that in like the 1920s or 30s or 40s, whatever, I'm not sure the year, it was bought out of a Sears catalog, this home. It was a cookie-cutter home, and they were built.
You know, I think they had the edge on Amazon. They were selling cars. So was Montgomery Ward's, but they were selling cars, homes, everything. You could get everything from a Sears catalog. And it was more products than Amazon and almost all the stuff, not all of it, but a greater portion of the sales were proprietary. Kenmore, Craftsman, brand mm-hmm. names like that. They're mm-hmm. owned by the company. How they couldn't make money in the era of Amazon still befuddles me.
Sears is once the largest retailer in the nation, boasting thousands of stores. The last Sears department store, located in the retailer's home state of Illinois, is getting ready to close its doors for good, located in the Woodfield Mall. And it's going to be closing on November 14th.
We had a lot of Sears around here. And then there's a little Sears, little stores that were the catalog stores only, and they only had a few items. And they were just, you just order through the catalog and you'd get it the next day.
I mean, at this point, what they should do is just close it up and sell the land. I mean, they can probably get a good penny for that.
They have to be doing that.
Yeah, that's probably the move right now. We have some TikTok stupidity. I don't know if you've seen this, but a viral TikTok challenge is leading students nationwide to shatter mirrors, steal fire alarms, and intentionally clog toilets. Dubbed the Devious Licks Challenge, students are showing off their devious licks with a sped-up version of a ski-ski bass god by rapper Lil B playing in the background. So they're vandalizing schools. This is the new ticks. You know, what happened to the ice bucket challenge. Now we gotta go. Trashed our schools, which got me thinking. That movie, The Purge, thinking we should actually make this happen. Get rid of some of this dumb, you know? Have you seen these, The Purge?
I saw a trailer and I saw parts of it. It just looks like it looks like crap.
Oh, it's terrible. But the premise is that one night a year, you can go out and just kill people. And there'll be no ramifications.
Yeah. And then they change it so now you can kill people and it just never, you just keep killing people.
Mm-hmm. Well, in bigger news in the Philippines, this I think you're going to find very interesting. Boxing star Manny Pacquiao said on Sunday he will run for president.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't done that already.
There's some weird things going on here, like the opposition is going to have Duarte as the vice president so he can stay in power somehow.
Yeah, I guess there's term limits in the Philippines and Duarte can't be in any longer.
This is
the stunt that Putin pulled, you know, in Russia.
What did he do?
Remember when he was a prime minister and he was the president and the other guy was running the place for a while I don't remember the other guy's name, Yevtushenko or something. And Putin was the second in command. Then they changed a few things around so Putin could run again. And then so Putin's pretty much in forever now.
Hmm. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if that's going to have. He's got a fighting chance, though, I'll tell you right now. Thank you. There's a new phrase out there that I heard for the first time this week. Geriatric millennials. Like that
geriatric
one?
Geriatric millennials are not that old.
Geriatric millennials who have the most power in the workforce right now, supposedly. So this whole thing called the Great Resignation that's going on.
Yeah.
Which it's the idea that many Americans are dropping out of the workforce. So according to a recent analysis by the Harvard Business Review that looked at 9 million employee records from more than 4,000 companies, mid-career employees are just thrown in the towel. Resignation rates are highest amongst the 30 to 45-year-olds, which I guess this is at the end, the older range of the millennials. Now they're called geriatric millennials.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the moniker is correct. But does this sound to you a little bit like the same thing I'm always moaning about with the price of housing? Where the prices go down and nobody buys, and when the prices go up, they'll scramble and they'll get in line. This is the same thing. Right now, the job market is brisk. Mm-hmm. You can get a job pretty easily, and you can be a little picky. But just to throw in the towel in the hot job market and then wait for the depression to come where you'll never get work, just seems similar. That similar effect is that housing thing I complain about constantly.
I'm not really following the similarities.
You have a housing market that goes up, it goes down. And when it's depressed, we had it here, I think, in 2008. Nobody was interested in buying houses, whether they could afford them or not.
Okay, gotcha.
And then when they start jacking up and they go over asking, and there's one that's somewhere around here, somewhere went like $900,000 over asking.
Oh.
And there's people scrambling now because, let's get in now. It seems to me that when things are good when it's a buyer's market, nobody buys. When it's a seller's market.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing with the job market. It's a buyer's market for jobs, but nobody's buying.
Yeah, there's some weird mentality going on. I'm not exactly sure where this came from, whether people made a lot of money somehow, somewhere, or whether they have wealth that poured down from their parents, or I'm not sure what it is.
Not saying it.
Yeah.
I think it's something else.
Right.
COVID poisoning.
So you think that twisted and fried their brains somehow. But how do they live if they're not working?
They live, I don't know. Not only that, but the problem with millennials is they don't live cheap. They only buy like high-end products, or brand. They don't buy old-fashioned brand names that are fairly inexpensive. They buy these, artisanal brands that are overpriced. They're not that great. A small batch.
Small batch or a good label.
And a pretty label and a story to tell. They always have to have a story.
Yep.
You can't just can some green beans.
No, yeah. If you're selling socks, you have to give one sock for every sock you sell to charity.
That's another bit, yeah.
We've given away 42 million pairs of socks. I'm thinking, who needs all those? That's a lot of socks. It's a lot of socks to give away. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve Board, the activity that's going on there. Chairman Powell orders ethics review after the Fed presidents disclosed multi-million dollar investments they made. This is kind of like the shoe bomber, and now we have to check our shoes. You know, everything's always after the fact. God forbid anybody's ahead of the curve.
Never.
So the probability of the outcome, my thoughts, are they going to change the rules to fit the crime? So now they'll just twist the rules to make sure nobody's out of compliance versus the other way around, which usually is, hey, you're going to get fined, you're going to get censured, you're going to be out, you're going to be, no. They're probably just going to change the rules to make it look like there was no wrongdoing. That's my
thought. That would be, I think I'll agree with this.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, Elizabeth Warren, of course, is up in arms. She's writing letters to everybody.
Yeah, she accomplishes nothing with all her bravado.
She wants a ban on the ownership of and trading of individual stocks for senior officials at each regional office.
Yeah, why don't you have her do it at the U.S. Senate while she's at it?
Oh, no. Let's start small. Let's go, no, can't do that. See how it goes. Problem is, these guys traded futures. They traded futures. That's really unbelievable. Not only do they not trade just index or mutual funds that are tied to some investment, they went after futures and they did individual stocks. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. It's corrupt.
And even if you did just indexes, I'm like, okay, whatever. If you do futures, you know there may be an announcement happening in the off hours, after hours, and you could trade in the after hours where you can't do that with ETFs, mutual funds, or individual stocks.
Yeah.
Ugh. All this stinks.
It does.
Oh, it stinks. Millions and multi-million dollar trades we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody bought like, 50 shares of Starbucks. Hey, no.
Martha Stewart went to jail for a lot less than this.
AMC Entertainment back in the news. Boss Adam Aron said the theater chain would now accept Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, and Litecoin for ticket purchases.
Sounds like a complicated thing to do. Why don't you just have some cash on you?
Why don't you just play the 12 bucks? I'll tell you why. First of all, whether he is going to do this or not is a whole different discussion than what he's announcing. The second point is, what is he going to do with it? Is he going to keep the Bitcoin, Litecoin on the books, or is he going to sell it immediately, convert it? We don't know. This is all for immediate news flash in the pan.
Yeah, it's just for publicity. It's all a publicity stunt.
Because all the people that are like, wow, AMC. Ooh, AMC. And crypto. You put those together. AMC crypto. AMC crypto. Oh, I got to buy it. You know?
Yeah, it's like, what was it some time back when people kept, they just announced a blockchain. They say blockchain, the stock would go up.
Yep, exactly.
And there was something else before that, too. I wish I could remember what it was.
Oh, there's but been.
They come and go, but there was
the cloud.
Cloud would always get you jacked up. Yeah.
Cloud was a big one. Blockchain was a big one. It was back in 2000, it was the internet, something internet connected. And then it was Internet of Things, IATA. Remember that?
Yeah. It's still in play.
So NFTs, that's a new one. Another one. Who would have imagined? Rumors of insider trading and NFT marketplace OpenSea are true, according to a statement from the company itself. Yesterday, they learned that one of their employees purchased items that they knew were set to display on their front page before they appeared there publicly. This whole thing is stupid, too. Let's move. We talked about Walmart accepting Litecoin. Did we talk about that? That whole shenanigans that went on last week?
No, I don't believe so. In fact, the only thing... It's just the current story on AMC.
So Walmart, all of a sudden last week there was an announcement. Walmart is partnering to accept Litecoin. And I was like, what? That doesn't make much sense.
Partnering with who? And you're right, it doesn't make any sense.
So Litecoin moves up 35% on the news. All the entire crypto space starts just bubbling up. And things are moving, grooving until all of a sudden there was a reality check and it was a fake press release.
Oh, funny.
And even more, just the fact that Litecoin would move up 35% on an announcement they're working with Walmart was reason to believe that this should not be the case. Why would Walmart deal with such an illiquid asset that would move so violently?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yep. Cuba Libre. You been to Cuba?
Not yet.
Well,
you have.
Yeah, I've been there. A CIA officer who is traveling with agency director William Burns to India this month reported symptoms consistent with the Havana syndrome. Now, this is, if people don't remember, there was a situation where an entire delegation of Americans, I believe, down in Cuba, all of a sudden, entirely and altogether, synchronously, had a mysterious set of ailments that included migraines and nausea, memory lapses, and dizziness.
Which, some got hospitalized.
Yeah. Now, if I just substitute that the CIA officer who went to India reported symptoms of consistent with Havana syndrome, if I was to substitute that he had symptoms consistent with a hangover, I think that's the same thing. Migraines, nausea, memory lapses, and dizziness.
Huh.
I think they used this as, I think the guy was out partying and he said, man, I can get shit canned for this thing. I'm going to call it the Havana syndrome.
There you go.
Wasn't it some kind of like sound wave supposedly or something?
No, they think it's microwaves now. They keep changing it. First it was some sort of sound wave or some weapon. And then it turns out, oh no, it never even happened. This was all mass hysteria. And now then it came up again. And now it's some sort of microwave. And yeah, this story is just very screwy. I think it's just 5G, nothing special.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it's a 5G leak.
Yeah.
We have a big problem potentially happening with a possible tax code change. Regarding this affects a lot of people, or could affect a lot of people, depending on your income. Maybe not so many of people in the lower income class, but it's directed, it seems, at one person in particular. And they're dealing with the Peter Thiel loophole tax. Now, if you remember, we talked about this. Peter Thiel took his holdings in an IRA and bought a chunk of PayPal stock. He was probably given a major discount because he bought a ton of it for like $2,000. Okay? Put it into his Roth IRA. It has since grown to over $5 billion. And according to the rules with Roth IRAs, once you get to be 59 and a half, and there's a couple other rules in there, but let's just kind of use the 59 and a half, you can take that out tax-free. How great of a deal is that?
Yeah, the Roth IRA was a real good one.
But it wasn't supposedly meant to benefit people if they make too much money. So the House Democrats unveiled a tax package on Monday that would force distributions from people's nest eggs, their IRAs, the valuation of their IRAs, 401ks, and other retirement plans exceed $10
million. Mm.
So that leads to some very interesting planning discussions. And there's a problem. There's a problem. There's also the possibility that they're targeting Peter Thiel so much that if he does have to take the money out prior to age 59 and a half, in other words, when you look at the date this has to go into effect, that he's going to have to take out, I think it's 80% of his IRA. And if he's under age 59 and a half, it's going to be fully taxable. I guess stick it right up this guy's tuchus. How do you like that?
Interesting. Yeah.
Ugh.
So the Democrats hate this guy.
They hate him. Hate him. It is a brilliant plan. It wasn't. I honestly don't think. One of the problems is he got severely discounted. I mean, ridiculously discounted stock into the IRA. So that's a problem. That probably shouldn't have happened. Should have been a fair market value. Something was not right about what he got. I think in the somewhere I read about how this works and how he did what he did, and I just think that maybe he got too much stock in there to begin with. Nonetheless, his little shenanigans are going to hurt a lot of people otherwise that maybe have a lot of money in their plans. So kind of interesting. What else we got to talk about? We talk about the donations, of course. It's time for that. If you like the show, if you're listening, if you think that it's information that you could use, if there's some ideas that you come up with, it's time for you to get on the horse of donations. Oh,
yes. We do. This show is one of the better shows.
Well,
it's conversational. It's got good information.
Produced well.
And it's got insight you just don't hear anyplace else.
That's true. We're giving you all sorts of the various sides of things. I don't think I don't think we take a side. Like, we're not constantly just a one side wrecking ball, right? I think we take all sides of the discussion.
Yeah, but we're also not boosters.
Right. That's true. A couple of quick stories. Cows being trained. There's a big hullabaloo about greenhouse gases with cows, right? We know about that?
Yeah, cow farts are causing global warming.
Well, it's not only the farts, but it's also their urine and their feces. It seems that in New Zealand, there's been some studies about this. Urine contains nitrogen, and when it mixes with feces, it becomes ammonia, which is an environmental issue. So what they've done...
It's also a fertilizer.
It can be.
And a good one, by the way.
Well, what they did is they trained the cows...
To hold it in.
To go to the moo-loo, which they do number one in the potty. They went and they trained him in like 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks to actually pee in a potty.
Did they flush too? Cows
in Nigeria, don't go to Nigeria. Nigeria authorities imposed a communications blackout on Monday in several parts of Sokoto State as the crackdown against armed kidnappers in the country's northwest region spreads. It seems like more than 1,000 students from schools were kidnapped. And I guess they're turning off the phones so they can't go, "Hi, we have your kid." I guess they want to just cut off all communications. Terrible.
I like your premise. Don't go to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I have to write that down so I make sure I don't make the error of going to Nigeria.
All right, we have a mystery limerick. Let me just get going on.
Okay, let me get...
Here we go. Markets are in a rotation. More stimulus is its salvation. For a few picks each week, we hope for a streak. Now, how about a big fat donation?
Ooh. That's clever. Clever way to ask for money.
Yeah. That's all that was all about.
Markets are... It's a really tight limerick. It's very well done. I'll give you an A.
Oh, like a D's and an A plus. You people are very rough on the chat. Very, very rough. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. All right. Lots of green, lots of couple of reds.
Yeah, it looks pretty. One empty somewhere.
I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know why
Xerox
Google Sheets isn't picking that up. It's clearly, obviously, still traded under that symbol.
All our reds are really minor except for energy transfer. The Pro Shares Ultra Bloomberg Natural Gas short. Definitely the winner for the last week.
Last week, that was a huge, short of the, what was that now? That was a short of the triple
short of
long.
A triple, yeah. Short
the
of a
triple long short up 24.5%. I'd love to just call that right there.
Also, train technology seems to be dipping, headed toward the, this headed downward.
Yeah, I think it was, what was it up, like 108? So, I mean, we've had a bit of a market move, about 4%. So, you know, FSC Bancorp's
down. I'm surprised more stuff wasn't kicked off during this little 1,000-point down. That's a kind of thing that causes it.
Yeah, that's correct. But things are looking pretty good. I don't, your Asana is doing good, up 6% from last week. And that thing's been on a tear to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's moving pretty well. So, well, good. What do you, I don't have anything for this week. I'm not going to spoil the fact that I put in a 24% for last week.
I'm looking at, this is kind of a, this is an insider thing. The chairman, CEO, executive chairman, whatever he is buying it up, which is Designer Brands, DBI.
That's not the shoe company, right? No, that's something different.
That's apparel.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's been buying and buying like crazy.
Let's take a look what they do. It's up today, 3% today. And Designer, I'm trying, I know who these guys are. What are they now? Let's see what they own.
This guy's got his hands in a lot of stuff. He's like, he's an executive of American Eagle Outfitters, which he's been selling. What else has he got his hands in? Designer Brands, American Eagle.
Oh, they do have DSW. They have this, yeah, it's a shoe warehouse. The shoe company, yeah, they own that too.
Oh, okay.
I thought they owned that. Athletic footwear, handbags, jewelry, U.S. Retail Canada, and brand portfolio.
I think this is based on their connections to China and the fact that China is starting to pump stuff back into the country.
Mm.
And I think most of this stuff's going to all be coming out of China.
They also have the Vince Camuto brand, Jessica Simpson brand, Lucky, Jennifer Lopez brand. Yep. And the shoe store. So they got a lot of celebs. All right. So that's DBI. That's long. That's insiders. I call it that. Insiders.
Yeah. And that's all I got.
This is what show 574. All right,
you we'll got get nothing. That up. You're gonna stay on your look for
yeah, I'm gonna ride
on
it.
Your laurels from the last. Okay,
I'd love to cut that right now though, but okay. Thursday
that's
is
not the way it works.
I know. Yeah. Thursday is the well, I'm in the money no matter what happens right now, since we have a 15%. We backed it down to 15. I think 15% now. We were weren't we at 20 or something like that, and then we went to 15?
No, I know. Well, we were at 10 at one point.
Yeah, do you want to go back to 10 eventually? We'll have to talk about that.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Let's look at that. All right. Well, that ends it for the night. We're going
to
end early.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you next Tuesday.
See you then.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Company Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.